Welcome into the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Ira Kaufman himself drives a 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. He adores that thing. You can get shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Those of you listening at JoeBucksFan.com, thank you so much. Thousands of you do. However, you can also subscribe on the podcast platforms for a free alert. It'll come to your phone, let you know when the new podcast posts, and we are going twice a week minimum through the off season like we always do. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, where we just passed 500 subscribers the other day, which is pretty cool, and Stitcher, and there's more out there as well. So get that done, and we appreciate the support. We also appreciate all of you who go to Pin Chasers. They have 3 Tampa area locations, and you know what? This weekend, Valentine's weekend, the 14th, through the 16th, that's Friday through Sunday, buy one, get one free bowling. Reserve your lane today at pinchasers.net. The food is fantastic. The beer specials are always great. It's a wonderful atmosphere, a fun atmosphere. Get out there for Valentine's Day or just Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You can also see all of their specials at pinchasers.net. They have a daily special. It's silly to say every day of the week, but I like to remind everybody, every single day, sometimes there are even 2 specials in the same day. Pin Chasers shoes are always free. Pinchasers.net is where you can get all the details. All right, that's enough of me, and here is the sage of Tampa Bay sports.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, welcome to another edition of the world-renowned Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the king of Pasco County, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the custodian of Canton. He is the one and only Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you this fine week?
I'm still flying high from my Kansas City Chiefs. And I know Buck fans, some of them, are upset. Hey, you got to be a Buck fan and you can't be a Chiefs fan. Lee, I paid my penance. 5 decades. 5 decades. And it wasn't like I ever lived in Kansas City. So it wasn't that kind of fan. I used to go to their games or anything. Nothing like that. I worshiped them from afar, Lee. Like I do with Penelope Cruz. From afar. Okay. See, now you got no argument against that one.
I was thinking of who played Get Smart.
Oh, Anne Hathaway?
Yeah. Douglas was hitting on her. Kirk Douglas.
He's 94 years old.
Was. But yeah, he
That's
was
why he
on
lived
her.
To 103. Anyway.
He said something to her one time. Where were you when I was working?
Oh, he just passed away.
I know. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes drunk out of his mind during that parade last week.
Oh, yeah, him and Kelsey, those guys.
And Kelsey slurping from the Vince Lombardi.
They were at Aria over the weekend, and they're still pounded. And Aria, I love the Aria. First, I stay at the Aria all the time. I've got good friends at MGM Resorts International. And some of them may be listening to this podcast for all I know. I know, for example, Robert's out there in Las Vegas. Robert's a good guy. He works with MGM. The thing I like about the Aria, in the basement is this nightclub called Jewel. It's a very trendy nightclub.
You're in a trendy nightclub?
No, not me.
Hold on, I'm trying to get that image over there.
No, not me. No, I walk by it because it's right where the Uber stand is. But that's the trendy nightclub.
The Uber
there.
Stand I can see you in. The nightclub I can't.
Anyway, Mahomes and Kelsey and those guys were there. Johnny Football got thrown out of there once.
Ah.
And if I remember correctly, it's the same nightclub. I know it was at Aria. I think it was the same nightclub that Nicolas Cage and Vince Neil got into a fist fight over a girl. They were drunk out of their minds.
Speaking of Vegas.
And I saw Bill Walton there once.
And you saw Bill Walton?
Yeah,
you
I talked to him.
Can't mistake him.
No. I saw this huge human being walking to me. And I look up like, oh, wow, it's Bill Walton.
Did he have a headband like he used to?
No, he didn't. No, but he was cool. We talked a little bit. And I do enjoy his broadcast. I said, man, you're really good on your Pac-12 broadcast on ESPN. Thank you. He's got that real deep voice.
Did he weigh in on Jason Light as a general manager?
Never got the chance.
All right. You mentioned Vegas. Now, when you mention Vegas, we must quickly say that we know for a fact, the schedule's not coming out to April. We know the Bucks are going to Vegas.
Yes.
We don't know when. What's the second thing we know? You're going to fly with the good doctor in a private plane.
I am
going to take my new Ford car.
You're going to drive all the way to Vegas?
Just to drive in my vehicle. It's still, I've had it for 3 months. It's still got features I'm still trying to figure out. I love the bun warmers. I got bun warmers.
I've owned my truck from Bill Curry Ford. I just now figured out how to use the defroster.
My beautiful, fancy 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford is one sweet ride. My wife loves it. I'm fighting for her. Who's gonna drive this thing every day? She wants to drive it. I want to drive it. Usually I win, Lee. Right now at Bill Curry Ford, all the President's Day deals are flowing, including 0% finance. You heard me right. 0% finance. Zilch. Find them at BillCurryFord.com or head to the dealership in person, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. You love to say that, Lee.
The first family of Ford.
My good friend, Sean Sullivan, the Bill Curry Ford GM, he's giving a discount to my listeners, and he will take care of you personally, Lee. Remember the Bill Curry Ford nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, family owned, Lee. Tampa's first family of Ford. And you will get that family treatment from Sean Sullivan, BillCurryFord.com. Lee, you're talking to Sullivan 5 days a week. He's talking about the 2024 draft. He's got his eyes on a couple of prospects. You know anybody that bleeds a buck more than this guy?
No. You may bleed as much as him, but not more. His knowledge is unreal.
He's knee-deep in the 2020 draft. You know it.
Yeah. We were talking running backs. And I sort of wrote about this Monday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Are the Bucks going to screw the pooch again? The last couple of years, the running backs class has been deep, and the Bucks sat on the sidelines and twiddled with them. Yeah, they drafted Ronald Jones, and his rookie season was so bad, that should have scared them. Like, we can't stand Pat. And rather than drafting a running back, they decided to get a has-been in here, Andre Ellington, and they kept Dari.
And you're not saying take one at number 14. You're not saying that. You're saying there are running backs to be had, and go find one.
I won't start a riot if they draft a running back at 14. There's no question about it. That's the weakest link on the team. So if you address the weakest link on your team with the number one draft pick, I don't think that's so awful. Arians isn't playing for 2024. He's playing for now.
Weaker than safety? Running back weaker than safety?
Well, the Bucks have had some safeties. You know, Justin Evans, I don't know if Justin Evans will ever play for the Bucks again. But, you know, they drafted a safety, third round last year, fourth round, this Edwards guy out of Kentucky.
You got Whitehead?
Whitehead's not bad. It's thin. I'll give you that. It's very thin safety. But running back's terrible. And, you know, hey, if Ronald Jones pops out of it, and you still draft a running back, and he does good, that's a win-win. And I've been under the mind, you draft a running back, and you sign a free agent. Play it safe.
Smart. Now, yeah. Lee, you're talking about the draft. That takes me directly to the next thing I want to talk about. Big Storm Brewery. So it's right there on 49th Street, Lee. It's a little south of Almerton, the east side of 49th Street. Buck fans, the food, fun, Buck passions, they're all going to be flowing at Big Storm Brewery for our huge 2020 NFL Draft Party Thursday, April 23rd. That is going to be the first round. It's my favorite event of the year, Lee.
Oh, that's great.
The food, Big Storm, fantastic. Florida's finest craft beers are the main event. You are an expert in that stuff, Lee.
Wavemaker, Brumosa, you name it, they've got it, and it's excellent. All of it. Excellent beers.
Storm beer, Lee, they're available across the Tampa Bay area and Florida. You can use their storm tracker at BigStormBrewery.com to find it. Now's a great time of year for an amber ale. The Big Storm Wavemaker,
yep.
Amber Ale, Lee. It's their original beer and a true classic. Get out to those Big Storm tap rooms, Lee. The only place to be for the NFL draft. With me, Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, April 23rd. Lee, you're excused. None of our listeners are.
You have some news, Ira.
Oh, I do have some personal news, Lee.
Yes.
Can I lay it on our listeners?
Lay it on the listeners. They want to hear this.
All right. The eagle has landed. We have our new puppy.
But it's not an eagle.
It's not an eagle. 6 weeks old.
It's not a beagle.
No, it's a Boston Terrier to replace the beloved Dante, who passed at the age of 15. That's a good age for a dog, Lee.
Yeah.
It's not a good age for a buck playoff drought, but it's a good age for
a dog.
They're
fastly approaching it.
And they're approaching it. 6 weeks old. Weighs less than a pound. The dog's a little yippy right now. But the biggest news of all, my wife said, you have to name that dog. She named Dante. I got to name this one.
And you didn't?
And I did. I am now ready to announce, this is the world famous announcement.
Kelsey?
From this moment on.
Patty.
This Boston Terrier will be known as...
Andy?
Cosmo. Named after Cosmo Kramer. From Seinfeld. Cosmo.
You know, everybody listening to this knows that you're a Chiefs fan. Almost to the week.
My wife's not going to call her dog Mahomes. She's not going to do it.
I thought you had the choice. to the very week they break a 50-year drought. And you don't name him after a Chiefs player. Come on, Ira.
I'm bigger than that. Cosmo, Lee. Cosmo. Now, there's a little backstory to Cosmo.
Is it a weird dog? Is that what you're calling it, Cosmo?
It could be a weird dog. I'll tell you what. He's yippy as heck. And I like quiet when I sleep. Absolute quiet.
He's mad because you won't call him Mahomes.
Absolute quiet, like a Buck home game. I thought absolute quiet. I made you laugh seven times during this podcast. I have a backstory. Would you like to hear the backstory?
Yeah, I think I know where you're going, but I want to hear this.
All right. Okay. We got the dog from Plant City. It was a breeder.
Zach?
No, but our interns might know the woman. Lovely woman.
Named Mary. Van Beest intern Zach lives in Plant City.
That's right. So we sent her a deposit. I sent her a deposit. I think $150.
Oh, I was going to ask you if it was north of $500.
No, to hold the dog. And we went over there about a month ago because she said we were going to pick it up February 18th, which is next week. We went over a month ago to pick out the one that was three male dogs. Well, we want our choice. One had a cleft chin. They were offering it as a discount. We didn't want that one. So we picked out the one we wanted.
Yippy one.
That was fine. Yeah, Yippy, that's okay. But Mary wasn't there that day. When we knocked on the door, her friend answered the door. We said, well, where's Mary? We got a check for her. Mary fell and broke her hip. She's in the hospital. All right. We gave the other woman the check. It was made out to Mary. We picked out our dog. And we said, we'll be back February 18th to pick him up. She assured us that the dog was doing well. The dog looked healthy. Well, a couple weeks go by, and my wife wants to get an update. Hey, how's our little pooch doing? She calls Mary's cell phone, voicemail, and no return. No return call. Another week goes by, another call to Mary. Voicemail, no return. Now the third week. Now she's getting nervous. We're supposed to pick the dog up in a couple of weeks.
Check cashed?
Check cashed immediately. I think they cashed it the day before I gave it to her. So check cashed. I really wasn't worried about the $150 because there's more common. So it's really not in her interest to play games here because she's got more money.
Oh, the $150 was just a deposit.
Yeah, just a deposit.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so...
So it might have been north of $500.
The total, yeah, it might have been. Might have been. Just like a Super Bowl ticket next year for when the Bucks are in the game. It's going to be $500. So finally my wife says, you better go over there. You better go back to Plant City and knock on that door. So I went last week and I knocked on the door. I'm looking for Mary. Who answers? The friend, the neighbor, Irene, I think. Irene, where's Mary? We can't reach her for 3 weeks. She won't return our calls. Mary's gone. Where'd she go? Tallahassee? She didn't make it out of the hospital. She's gone. She's deceased. Well, I can't believe it. I can't believe what's going on. I go, how's our dog? Oh, he's doing fine. See, I immediately switch gears. I'm Mr. Sympathetic over there. Woman just passed away. And I'm immediately asking about the dog. She goes, your dog's fine, blah, blah, blah. I said, how's the one with the cleft chin? He didn't make it.
Oh, really?
He didn't make it. He followed Mary. What about the second one? Well, the people from Land O'Lakes came last week and picked him up and gave the rest of the check. So the only one she had was ours. He's doing fine. She goes, you want to wait till the 18th? This was last Thursday. She goes, you want to wait till the 18th? I said, I'll be back Sunday to get that dog. I wasn't going to fool around.
Yeah.
I probably should have took it right then and there.
Well, you weren't
prepared. But I didn't have the check, yeah. For it. So we drove back over. Now, Lee, I'm going to show how big a man I am. And I want all our listeners to show that I'm not a cheapskate, Lee, no matter what you say about me. When all the arrangements were made with the breeder, with poor departed Mary, she had papers on the dog, and he was going to get all his shots by the time we picked him up on the 18th.
That didn't happen?
That didn't happen. No shots, no papers. Shots are $50, $100, or maybe more.
Yeah.
I had every right to chop off $100 off the rest of that check. But no, classy Ira, just to be nice to Cosmo. I didn't want to cause any trouble. And I gave the full amount. 2 hours later, I get a call from Amscot. I'm not making this up. Got a lady here wants to cash a check with your name on it. We're just checking on this. What's the number on the check and what's this?
Wow.
Yeah. Wasted no time. No time.
Wow.
But we have our dog. He's eating up a storm. The easiest way to get to a Boston Terrier.
Food. Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. He's pooping. He's peeing.
Oh, boy.
He's always around underfoot. He's always around. I'm worried about stepping on him. He weighs less than a pound. But I think he's always worried about that separation anxiety. It's kind of like you and Annie Sable. You know, it's unbelievable. Lee, this is one of the classic podcasts. You're not going to top it.
There's someone else in the Bucks newsroom that pitter-patters behind Annie Sable's footsteps a lot more than I ever did. Enough of the dog stories and dying women, dying dog breeders. So,
by the way, he's a little yippy, so if anybody on Twitter wants to give me some tips about training to stop him from yakking overnight when he's in a little
yappy,
cage.
Not yak.
Yeah, yapping.
Is he yakking too on your
he's
floor?
Yapping. He's yapping. Okay. Yapping. I'll take any suggestions.
Sudafed.
Ooh. What do you want to drug this? You want to drug?
Well, you
want
to sleep at
you
night, don't
drug
you?
Cosmo?
Yeah, you give it Sudafed, it'll snooze all night long.
Fuck cough syrup.
I don't know, codeine. Oh, that might, you might be buying a new dog.
We better get to the Bucks right now before we get in trouble. What's going on in Buckland?
All right, well, it became official. Well, everybody speculated it happened. The Chargers and Philip Rivers had a joint release, joint statement issued that his days is 16 years, I believe,
The
Chargers has come to an end, and he's a free agent. And, of course, that ramped up the speculation because, oh, he lives in Florida, so he's got to play for the Bucks. You know, I read on the big league, and I like those guys at the big league.
So they're looking for landing spots for
him. Yeah, you know, he plays in Florida, he's going to play for the Bucks. Guys, look at your geography. The fact that he lives in the Panhandle, that doesn't mean he's going to play for the Bucks anymore than if he moved to El Paso, he's going to play for the Texans. I mean, at any rate, I got that off my chest. And moving the chains, Carwin and Miller, Jim Miller, Pat Carwin.
They're speculating?
Yeah, they're speculating. And Pat Carwin, obviously, he will go down in infamy as the man who handed in the draft card for Bo Jackson. Pat Carwin doesn't think Rivers is a fit here.
I'm with Carwin.
And Philip Rivers is basically an immobile old Jameis.
Throws a lot of picks, Lee.
Three times he's had over 20 picks. Jameis only once. Now, he really went overboard this year. But that's the first time he's ever had over 20 picks. Rivers has been around 16 years, Jameis 5. I get it. But still, it's not like Rivers is not immune to picks. And he's immobile. And he's a warrior. He's a good quarterback.
Durable.
Yeah, very durable. Jameis is able to make plays with his feet. And for the people who whine about offensive line, imagine if you think the offensive line is that bad. I do not, but you know that's a whole different subject. If you think the offensive line is bad, then you want Jameis and not Rivers. Because Jameis can make plays with his feet. Rivers can't.
Where do you think a suitable spot for Rivers could be?
Well, Jim Miller said, now this is one that got me going. Jim Miller said Indianapolis. He said, I don't see him going to the Bucks, although he could play for the Bucks. I don't see him going to the Bucks because Indianapolis has weapons. What?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Indy might have a better offensive line, but they don't have better weapons.
Exactly. I mean, the Bucks have the best weapons.
They got T.Y. Hilton, who's
if he's healthy,
he's better than Godwin. Poor by Jim Miller. He's better than that.
He should be better.
How about
than
Chicago?
That.
What's Chicago going to do, Lee?
Well,
are they coming back with Trubisky?
I guess they're married to the guy. I don't know. In a suspense kind of way, in a drama kind of way, in a perverse excitement kind of way, a puzzle. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. What quarterback's going to go where?
And that's this type of year. Lee, guys are knocking themselves out writing stories about why the Bengals shouldn't draft Joe Burrow. How they shouldn't draft him, and they should get a package, and this and that. They're going to draft Joe Burrow. I mean, that's
well, you know, they are because of Mike Brown. That's why he's just stubborn. There's some smoke signals out there that Burrow doesn't want to play for the Bengals. He wants to go to a team that's serious about winning.
Wants to go with John Elway?
Or Eli Manning. And, you know, people got mad at Eli Manning, but he sure did the smart thing, didn't he? Got two rings with the Giants.
Joe Burrow could run that town if he's any good.
You can make an argument to Mike Brown. He may talk good, like, oh, yeah, I want to win a Super Bowl, but evidence suggests he doesn't know what he's doing. Could Burrow?
It's a poorly run franchise.
Yeah, it's a family-run franchise, and just because your family owns the team doesn't mean you're Bill Belichick, you know, or Vince Lombardi.
You got any serious doubts about Burrow as a pro?
One doubt. And I can't remember all of Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells used to have a checklist of what makes an NFL quarterback. One of his checklists was minimum 3-year starter in college. Burrow's only been 1-year starter.
Maybe he would update that the way things are going now in college.
Perhaps. But I just think it's interesting that he only had one decent year.
Are there some Winston rumors going around? And I say rumors very charitably.
Okay, since you brought that up, I wasn't going to talk about it, but since you brought that up, I know where you're going.
This is the social media world that we live in.
Well, technically, they're not social media. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but technically, this website's not social. Social media is Twitter. Social media is Instagram. Social media is Facebook. TikTok, online. This is supposed to be a news website. At least I assume so. And I have nothing against these guys at all. But it seems like they've gone in the direction that any freaking rumor out there, when I say rumor, I mean baseless rumor, zero evidence, just because it's on Twitter, they slap a story in it. And one of them is supposedly, and I'm going to get into specifics because I think it's BS unless I have some evidence, that James had a couple of medical procedures. And some people think, oh, because James is wearing sunglasses.
A photo.
Yeah, Instagram. He put up on Instagram where he's at the gym. He's at the freaking gym. He took a picture. He's got sunglasses. He's either coming or going. Oh, he had a procedure.
It reminds me of when Testaverde was having all his troubles. They found out he was colorblind. They went crazy. This is going to solve all his problems.
And the latest rumor originates from a documented liar. And those are strong words.
Don't mention him.
I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a documented liar. Well-known documented liar. He puts out there how the Bucks are trying to trade up. And I'm not going to give it any more information than that.
Trade up for Burrow.
Trade with Cincinnati. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it. One of your colleagues.
Do you have any idea what kind of resources you would have to give up to get Cincinnati to give up that number one pick?
It would
be absurd.
You would have to give up body parts, I suggest. One of your colleagues, and I forget her name, she left the Tribune about the time I got there. She used to cover sports media. Tall, slender, blonde woman. Can't remember her name. She roasted this guy in a column when I'm absolutely roasted. Went into his background, documented all the lies he said during his shows on radio. I mean, this guy's just, he's a well-documented liar. It's the best way I can say it.
He's continually wrong. Continually wrong.
Well, wrong is, yeah,
I guess. It's a laundry list.
Barry Switzer once referred to a columnist as a fiction writer. This guy is sort of like, he's like Orson Welles. People could look that guy's name up on Wikipedia. Only works in sports. You know, it's all fiction. It's like the War of the Worlds. Only he talks about football. He's got people scared about this. The Bucks don't give up an arm and a leg to get the draft pick.
Lee, take this as a compliment, but the website that you share have made a lot of hate over Shaq Barrett. I see, our boy Steve was listening because he did the Russo show.
Yep.
And Russo was complimenting Barrett to me when I was talking to Russo off stage. He goes, hell of a guy, Barrett.
Nice guy.
Well spoken. What's he been yakking about in terms of whether he's staying or anything he says about Winston?
The biggest thing in my mind, players get frustrated with Jameis' picks. That's understandable. I see their reactions, their physical reactions. I mean, we all saw on national TV, well, it wasn't national TV, but when the Bucks played at the Bengals, Jameis threw like, what was it, fourth pick of the half? DeMar Dotson looked like someone shot him in the air from a seat ejector or something. And he was so PO'd. And I've seen Carl Nassib. I thought he was going to throw his helmet one time.
Dotson's one of Winston's greatest defenders.
Yeah, but he was hot as a firecracker about that pick. So I get it. Those guys get frustrated. So when Shaq said, you know, about the frustrations, you know, he's got to change his ways or he's going to be gone.
Probably not saying anything that Winston doesn't know.
Thank you. But what he did say was, and I thought it was kind of amusing, he's willing to take an under-market deal to stay with the Bucks. Now, that's not to mean he's open-minded to getting shafted, but he knows what his market is. And then Shaq said that he didn't want to go to Los Angeles and pay those taxes.
You know what? That's great news for Buck fans. That's absolutely great
news. And just so those who don't know, there are no state income taxes in Florida.
You know, say what you want about Rosenhaus. You don't become that successful in his line of work over a long period of time without handling yourself with some honor. Mm. You know, he's not the scum of the earth, Drew Rosenhaus. He's not.
Oh, no.
I mean, he's got a trophy wife, right?
Always does he?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
But in the end, I think he listens to his clients, I think. That's what a good agent does. I love the fact that Barrett has made a home here. Mm-hmm. He likes the organization. He loves the fact that they took a flyer on him, mm-hmm. targeted him, they wanted him. Mm-hmm. That's got to mean something.
I think it does mean something.
And he loves playing for Bulls. also. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to take $6 million instead of $15.
Yeah, he's not going to take a bath, but he's willing to take under market, but he wants his fair share of money. And I think that's big of him. I really do. And he also knows that if he doesn't demand $30 million, I'm just throwing a number out there, means a better chance JPP stays. And obviously, he wants JPP to stay.
JPP wants Barrett.
Well, we're on the defensive line. You're one of your Chiefs players, Chris Jones, defensive tackle.
Very good player. You're yakking about D-40 a year.
Yeah, how they tagged and traded him. Maybe that might happen with Chris Jones. Tag and trade.
I don't see where the Chiefs are that deep on their D-line that they can get rid of a guy that good. I mean,
no, but they also, you know, they got to clear some salary for Mahomes.
Well, they got that Frank Clark guy. He makes money.
So, and Mahomes. If they cut a check for Mahomes for $40 million a year, no one would say boo. I mean, he's that good.
I'll tell you the first guy I'm dumping as a Chief fan. You ready? Sammy Watkins.
He's gone. Well, anyway, with Chris Jones, I hope this is not true, but I think it's fair to say of the three big free agents on the defensive side of the ball for the Bucs, Ndamukong Suh, JPP, Shaq Barrett, maybe brace yourself is a better term, that one of those three aren't coming back. Now, if Suh is one of those guys, and I think they should get Suh to stay here. Suh didn't look any, I mean, he played like he's 24, not 34. If Suh leaves, I would suggest trying to work a deal with the Chiefs, get Chris Jones, put him, I know he's a defensive tackle, but so was Suh. And basically, Suh played like a defensive tackle as an end, so to speak, in a three-man front. That would be a great.
This guy's one of the best interior linemen in the league.
And the Bucs have cap space.
Be a beautiful thing.
I think so.
Be a beautiful thing. You can't help yourself from cherry picking off my Chiefs over there. You want a D Ford, now you want Chris Jones.
I want sacks. I want pressure. I want defense.
I think the way they finished, I would say the last 6 weeks defensively.
They were better.
How much confidence does that give you going into? Assuming they can keep most of the core.
It should give
them
a hell of a lot.
You think they turned the corner on defense? I mean,
yes, for two reasons. One, look at the defense last, since Lovey was here. Horrible, as Howard Stern would say. Horrible. That Long Island accent.
Terrible, says Charles Barkley.
Terrible. Yeah, finally, they got a defense. And look what happened to the secondary once they got rid of Hargraves. Jamel Dean played out of his mind. Sean Murphy, Bunning.
Davis played better.
Yeah, they all played better. So get a safety in there, and you're cooking with gas, man. I think the defense has turned the corner. At worst, they'll be an average team defensively. That makes sense.
We used to say that if they can get the defense up to 15 to 8, 17, mm-hmm. this team would be competitive.
In the last half of the season, they were. Look what they did against Houston. They were fantastic against Houston. You know, James's picks and... That screwed that game up, but that was a fantastic game.
You know they had 8 turnovers in the last 2 games, Lee?
In the Bucs?
Yeah, 8.
Well,
all on Winston, but 8 turnovers.
No,
how do you win like that?
You got to score a boatload of points, and your defense has to play off its mind. That's how you win with that many picks. We'll say this. Jim Miller, we mentioned him earlier, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, moving the chains. He had earlier suggested that the Bucs ought to get Joe Flacco. Now, I'm going to bring up Joe Flacco again.
Well, what's going on with this Jim Miller? Jim, come on, what are you drinking over there?
Yeah, man? Joe Flacco, that's ridiculous.
Come on.
But Miller went from supporting Jameis to, in 2 weeks, you got to get rid of him. More so than Kerwin, and Kerwin was anti-Jameis. And the reason why Miller turned on him was those last 2 games. And the last pick, the pick 6, to lose against Atlanta, Jim Miller said that was the laziest throw he's ever seen in a regular season finale. Jim Miller said that's the kind of pass you see the second day of training camp practice. He said that was a lazy... He stopped just short of suggesting Jameis threw the game. He stopped just short. He said that was an irresponsible pass. That was a lazy pass. What's he thinking? He knows better than that. And if, you know what? If Jameis had 3 picks those last 2 games, they win one of those last 2 games, we aren't screaming about Jameis.
You know, Lee, you got your finger on the key point here. The most ardent Winston supporter out there. And, you know, you're a pretty strong Winston supporter. But even the ones that are way past where you are, they have to acknowledge, Lee, I mean, it's a fact. It's not conjecture. The last 2 games shook everybody up in the organization.
To their core.
It just did. Those are the facts.
He looks
we're not
so
making that up.
No, we're not.
It changed Arian's demeanor markedly at the podium. God knows what he's saying behind closed doors.
What a vocabulary, huh?
It might have sealed his fate when Arians talked to the Glazers. And by the way, I believe he has talked to the Glazers. On Tuesday, I'm going to write.
Now, since I brought up Flacco.
That's where you say all we want is a little caretaker. All we want is a little caretaker.
Well, I think Flacco's way over the hill. If people think Rivers, I think Flacco's shot. But
I think Brady might be shot. I do.
There is. And there's been a lot of speculation about Brady and the Bucs. And most people are like saying he can't run Arians' offense, that his arm doesn't have the strength anymore. Back to Flacco. I think you and I both agree that's ludicrous. And I'm not talking about the rap singer. That's ludicrous.
I'd love to say that word.
To have Flacco take over for Jameis as a start. However, the PFF tribe.
I knew you were going to do the tribe.
They brought up Flacco too. But not as a starter, but as a backup. And they said if bad Jameis shows up on a Sunday, Arians has an option. Your thoughts?
Well, I've said it on this podcast that you must markedly improve the backup situation because I don't have total faith that Winston isn't going to get off to a 1-3 start. And if he does, I want the ability to yank his butt, yank his keister down, maybe for the rest of the year. Mm. Maybe a Tannehill Mariota situation. But I can't do it with Blaine Gabbert. Sorry. and I can't do it with Griffin. I can't, Lee. Maybe if Flacco would come in as the backup,
yes,
I could live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Miller was talking about Flacco taking his job.
Miller was. Miller wants Flacco to come in as a starter, which I think is beyond the pale. It's crazy. But the tribe said bring in Flacco, not as a starter, but as a backup. And once again, if bad Jameis rears his ugly head on a particular Sunday, you could pull him for Flacco.
I still think the thing that makes most sense, Lee, at this point, is to bring him back and draft the quarterback in the second, third round.
That's fair.
That Arians likes. And here's my point. If Winston has a good season and the Bucs have a good season, you trade the draft pick.
Yes.
The next year.
Yes.
That's what you do.
I would not be opposed to the following. Bring Jameis back on a short deal. Obviously, he's not going to get along. The Glazers haven't lost their minds. If that's the case, if the Bucs want to draft the quarterback in the first round, and like you said, if Jameis turns out okay, then you're covered. You can still trade this guy, and you may not get a number 14 pick, but you'll get some compensation. You won't have to give him away. So I would not be opposed to that. Not at all. Not like you said. You can trade the guy later if Jameis pans out.
James and if he doesn't pan out, Arians has had a year to be around this kid.
And Christensen.
And decide whether
Tom Moore.
This guy's got a future.
Yes, absolutely agree. For the first time, we agree about quarterbacks.
Hey, what do you say?
But I absolutely agree with that.
I think Flacco's shot.
I think he's done, yeah.
Got a ring.
Yeah,
got
so... You know, I hate to see that, but Father Time catches up with us all. Okay,
why are you looking at me when you say that, Billy?
Well, I'm not that far away from you and Russo, man. My mind tells me I'm 24, but I'm a lot older than that.
I understand.
JPP seems to like to put out cryptic messages on Instagram. Like he
now,
put
is this
out
JP Peterson or Jason Pierre-Paul?
No, Jason Pierre-Paul. but JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, about 2 weeks ago, he was moving out of his Tampa apartment. And he said, not much going on in Tampa except money. And, of course, people saw him cleaning out his apartment. He had a downtown apartment overlooking the ships.
Well, maybe his lease was up.
Yeah, but, you know, people are trying to read between the lines. Like, oh, my gosh, JPP's cleaning out his apartment. He said, there's nothing to do with Tampa. He's gone. I said, whoa. We don't know anything, number one. Number two.
Can we stop trying to read everything into an Instagram
People
photo.
Are craving for news. They're hungry for news. And one buck house.
I just told you what I named my dog. That's news.
No, they want more. They want Bucks news. But the Bucks have gone dark. And so when you go dark...
Zero dark 30, baby.
Yeah, when you go dark, speculation is rampant, and it's not going to be under control. I always say this to people. On your podcast, I've written this. If the Bucks want to stop all this speculation with about Jameis, JPP, Shaq, you name it, they want to stop it, they can stop it with one text. That's all it takes. One text. But it's dark. So the speculation continues. Anyway.
And you're worried that it might be dark even after you corral Light and the Arians at the combine. They may give you Pablo.
It's possible. It's possible. Back to JPP. He put out on Instagram over the weekend, all I did was try my best with the Bucks. All I did was try my best. Like I said, he likes to put out cryptic messages.
A lot of posturing going on.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
That's all it is, you think?
I think so.
You don't think there's any hidden message that the Bucks are walking away?
No. Why would the Bucks want to walk away?
I wouldn't know, but I'm not Jason Light or Bruce Arians.
He flipped the script on me. I wanted to dump him after the injury, and instead, the guy's a warrior. You can't question it. Well, he gives you effort.
Well, you know what? I talked to someone over the summer, last summer. And at that point, no one knew what the Bucks were going to do with JPP. They were scared. That's the best way I can describe it. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. But the guy I talked to over the summer, he said they're hoping that the same guy that came back to excel after he blew half a hand off is the same guy that's somehow going to beat this fractured neck and come back to play good ball. And he did. That was a gamble on their part.
And we were worried that Sue, if the season started off 2-6 or 3-7, which it did, that he would lose interest. And that didn't happen.
No.
A little bit of credit to the coaching staff.
I was going to say that. Credit to Arians and Bowles. Exactly. Now, there's a couple other things in your podcast here we got to talk about. Now, one, it indirectly deals with the Bucks. It actually indirectly deals more with the Rays, but the Bucks are involved. Specifically, it's about another Florida franchise. That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Chad Kahn comes out, I guess, smelling what Stu Sternberg's trying to pull. Said, you know what? If Sternberg's got this idea, why can't I do this? And so Chad Kahn comes out, and for those who don't know, Stu Sternberg owns the Rays, and he's trying to pull this wool over people's eyes that you can play half a season in Canada and half the season in Tampa Bay. Personally, I think they ought to tell Stu, it's either here or there. Take your pick. It's not both. Anyway, Shad Khan decided that he's going to play two home games in London. 25% of the home games are going to be played overseas.
That is a competitive disadvantage, and you are embracing
yes,
it.
Yes, and I would dare say that might put players at risk, all that travel, physically. I believe that.
And they're not doing it to get a Super Bowl either.
No. The Bucks at one point, people were speculating the Bucks were going to move to London before the Jags. That's been tamped down for years. I don't know the specifics, but I would dare say that Shad Khan's gotten government money, state money, or at least county money, certainly city money, for upgrades on that stadium. I don't think he paid for all of them on his own dime. And I bet there was some government-infused financial attraction for Khan to keep the Jaguars in Jacksonville when he bought the team a few years ago. Some politician is going to make a lot of hay putting a bill through Congress that would state no professional franchise in the state of Florida can accept a nickel of county, city, or state funds if you don't play your full home game schedule within the city you're located in.
Interesting. Now,
because I think that's a rip off the fans. I think it's a rip off the state taxpayers.
What about the NFL's rotation of teams that have to play overseas?
That's where the 17-game schedule comes in. They were going to play the 17-game schedule specifically, if you believe them, every team had to play one game overseas a year.
You know, I don't want to overstate this league, but this second game in London that you're committing to, if you're Shad Khan, aren't you basically saying... We don't deserve an NFL franchise.
He's sort of saying that.
Aren't you sort of saying that?
To Jaguars.com. He goes, this will guarantee the financial wealth of the team that it could stay in Jacksonville.
So now your home schedule is down by 25%. Are you going to reduce the season ticket prices by 25%?
You would hope. The Rays, maybe the Bucks are involved. Because like I said, there was rumors about the Bucks going to London. And then Stu Sternberg with his cockamamie, half Montreal, half Tampa Bay. He should not get a nickel of a stadium money if he's going to pull that.
You know, Lee, any luster, and I think it was considerable, that Sternberg had years ago, the Joe Madden years, the World Series appearance, the perennial playoffs, it's all gone, Lee. Yeah. He's a marked man in Tampa Bay, Sternberg. Nobody likes this guy. They think he's making a ton of money off this franchise.
And more power to him. I'm a capitalist. I don't have any problem.
But he's claiming poverty.
Well, that's just it. If you're making this kind of money, you can pony up a little bit extra cash. You know, I have no problem helping the guy out that want to build a dome stadium in Tampa. Hell, I don't care if they build it in Naples. But don't pull this nonsense like half your games you're going to play in Canada. No. Full season, no season. If you don't want to play a full season in Florida, then go to Montreal. They don't shaft the fans, and specifically don't shaft the taxpayers.
We got time for one more topic, Lee. What do you got?
The Vipers.
Perfect.
Didn't they look like a Tampa football team?
Oh, boy, Lee. Oh, boy.
I mean, honest to goodness, I put this on Twitter. They look just like the 2017 Bucks. Pass defense was invisible.
And the coach doesn't have any charisma, so the team better be excited.
Yeah. My gosh, Aaron Murray looked awful.
It's only 1 week, Lee.
Only one week. They had Flowers. With Flowers in the game, they moved the ball up and down the field. They got to the red zone. They
stuck
collapsed
in the red zone.
They threw picks. They had no pass defense. Jerry Glanville, where are you? You're supposed to be a secondary coach. No pass defense at all. It looked just like the 17 Bucks. Steve Isbitz, my cohort at JoeBuckTrain.com, put out on Twitter, this has a real Tampa feel to it.
Oh, and I believe they're on the road next week, too.
For their second game.
What did you think of the product? I mean, some people like...
Well, it's not the NFL. You know, people expect the NFL. And what the, come on. My theory is some football is better than no football. And also, you got to remember, these guys have been playing together, what, 2 months? Whereas NFL teams playing together for a couple years, these guys are teammates. Yeah, there's a turnover about 30 guys every year, but the core is the core. They played together for a while.
You know, when you said core, you know who you sounded like? You sounded like the first, the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket. Remember that
Why
movie?
Why was I thinking of him the other day?
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah,
core, army core, everybody love the core.
What a
performance by that guy. He was fantastic. Of course, he gets killed before the movie's half over. We don't want to give away
that. That is such a classic movie. That is one of my all-time favorites, Full Metal Jacket. Here's why I was reminded of the guy. Yeah, I grew up in the sticks. I grew up hunting as a kid. I, outside of going to a shooting range once in Las Vegas, I haven't shot a gun since maybe 1983. Well, make a long story short, not to get political, I decided to go out and buy a gun. I think things are changing. And if there's a hurricane, I want to be able to protect myself. Because there's a hurricane, you can't call 911.
All bets are off.
Yeah. So, and I wanted to play it safe. I wanted to do this right. But if you don't know what you're doing with it, it's a lethal weapon. So I wanted to do this right. I took a class in Tampa. And, it was all day Saturday. All day Saturday I was in this class. And they showed a video. And of this video, the star of this video about gun safety, Gunny. R. Lee Emery. Yeah, the Full Metal Jacket drill.
That's the guy.
He was the star of this video about gun safety.
Wow.
And what happened in that movie?
The Marine turned on him.
And swallowed the gun. And talk about gun safety.
Boy, the first half of that movie is brutal. Brutal.
Well, I'm one of my all-time favorites. That is so classic.
And who directed it, my man? Stanley Cooper.
He did something else, but it didn't, you know, I'm not a Hollywood guy.
Well, he did 2001. Eyes Wide Shut. Tom Cruise.
There's something else he did in like
Clockwork
the 60s.
Clockwork Orange.
I've heard that was good. I never saw that. Again, I'm not a movie
guy. Dr. Strangelove.
That I've seen. But there was something in there.
How many movies want me to read? Spartacus? Lolita?
Spartacus, because Kirk Douglas died.
There you
Spartacus.
Go. Spartacus.
Yeah, he did Spartacus.
I am Spartacus.
Yes.
And Lee, I am out.